Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Yo, 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 what's happening, people? Welcome back to the Rotobond Pod. That song sort of hit me. For those of you who know the song, this indecision's bugging me. Sunday morning, it's time to fiddle and tinker and take those Millie Maker winners and turn them into losers time. I was actually listening to some smart people yesterday debate the merits of tinkering with your lineup on Sunday morning. I am a tinkerer to the point where I don't ever even think about the things that I've done, because to me, until I really finalize, nothing really exists. So I don't really care about moving myself off of things that would have worked onto stuff that didn't, because really, until I'm finalized, it doesn't matter. We all have our regrets. And you know what? For me, it's a 50-50 thing. Sometimes I move in a better direction, sometimes I don't. But the bottom line is, when I get to the point where I'm done, I want to feel like I'm making decisions that I've come to, that I've worked all week to make. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, I'm right. But the important thing is that the lineup choices we make come from an informed position. So what I want to do here, and I'm going to try to do this as quick as possible, and I'm not saying that in the same vein I said it when I did the Waiver Wire podcast and did an hour and a half. This puppy's not going to be that long. I'm going to take a quick walk through the slate, just tell you guys what I'm thinking of these games. And then I'm just going to get into the core group that I've sort of narrowed it down to. A lot of it's chalky, so a lot of this stuff's probably going to be where you guys are as well. But let's look at the San Francisco Bengals game to start. I think this game is, you know, from an implied point of view, it could end up being low. It could end up being high. Hey, that doesn't really mean anything. But, you know, this game could evolve, I think, in one direction or the other. It's going to have to do with how these offenses perform. I'm excited about what I saw from the Bengals last week. I love the way they're getting more defined reads for Dalton, really encouraging more aggression from him. You know, this thing could keep getting better. And when they get A.J. Green back and they can actually run this thing right, where they've got the three trips out there and they're all dangerous, this Bengals offense could be pretty good, at least from a passing point of view. And obviously they've got running back talent. So I like where the Bengals are going. This week, obviously, they won't have Green. They've got a banged-up backfield. It's going to make it tough. You know, if you want to have some guts and go with the Geo play at 5,300 units, God bless you. I feel like there's too good of a chance that this thing's going to be sort of a two-back thing. No way I'm playing Mixon, because I don't think he's going to last. So I'm staying away from this backfield. I think the gutsier players can see some opportunity here. The guy I'm really focused on, if I want to play a Bengal this week, I think it's Ross at 4,600 units, probably in GPPs, not cash. On the other side, I don't really like Garoppolo on the road. I liked last week's matchup better. The Bengals' pass rush is pretty legit. So to me, I'm really focused on Kittle at 6,800 units if I want to get involved here, or Breida at 5,200 units. Those are my entry-level plays into this game, along with Ross, Debo, and Pettis, and Goodwin at this point. I don't want to get involved there. They're all dart throws. We don't know how much they're going to play. So I want more definition in San Francisco's passing game outside of Kittle before I really want to get involved. Moving on to the Chargers and the Lions, don't really want much to do with this game outside of Keenan Allen, Eckler at 6,100 units, and then on the other side, Hockenson. There's really nobody else in this game I want to get involved in with. This game just has a chance to be paced right down to the ground. Both of these teams like to run. Both of these teams like to eat clock. Both of these teams like to throw passes to the running backs, particularly, obviously, the Chargers. So you just have a lot of plays where the clock doesn't stop, and they eat clock between plays. So definitely have a lot of possibilities for a slow game here. So again, where I really, you know, and Mike Williams, I'm not getting involved with a guy with a snap limit. And I like Keenan a lot in this game. The one thing that's just worrying me, does Patricia pull from the Belichick playbook here and say, you know what, I'm going to lose to you any way but Keenan Allen. That seems possible here. So I feel like we could get punked on Keenan. But I really like the way he played last week. I think some GPP exposure makes sense. I don't think I'm going there with in cash. Eckler, on the other hand, I think is cash viable and GPP viable. The pace hurts him, but the role helps him. I wouldn't say I'm on him or off him. I'll have some exposure. And that's about it for this game. Vikings, Green Bay. I sort of like Valdez-Scantling in this game as a dart throw. I think Devontae, if you want to pay up, certainly has a chance. But I think Xavier Rhodes takes away ceiling from him, although I think Adams certainly has a seasonal floor. On the other side, Thielen, less intriguing at 7,100. But Diggs at 63, I have some interest in a GPP. Cook at 7,200 units, definitely if I can jam him into a lineup, I'm very willing to do that. He's got plenty of upside in this game. But on the whole, these teams know each other pretty well. We need Rodgers to show up big time in this game, I think, for a lot of people to do well. And, you know, new offense, haven't seen him do it yet. I'm just going to sort of stay away from this one, to be honest. Maybe I'll get burned. I don't know. Colts, Titans, another one of these things where the coaching staffs like taking the air out. So, you know, I'm not going to fight against the tide here. I think Derrick Henry certainly has a chance to go off. Some GPP exposure to him makes some sense. Delanie Walker has some floor. But other than that, really not looking to get involved with any Titans. I think T.Y. Hilton is priced well for GPPs if you want to get involved. There's really nothing else on the Colts side that I'm willing to roll with this week. You know, if this game had potential for shootout or high pace, I think Kane at 3K would be compelling. But the way I see this thing playing out, I'm probably not going to go there. Moving down to Patriots, Dolphins. This one's a little interesting. I think Thorman pointed out in his Pace article that the Fish played pretty fast last week. And if that were to continue, as I said on the Fantasy Football Hour, I think the Patriot defense is even more compelling than they are just from the standpoint of great matchup, good defense. We could have great matchup, good defense with some pace. So now you're giving the defense multiple opportunities at a highly turnover-prone quarterback on a bad team. So, you know, Patriot defense, I'm starting to think paying up to 3,700 is going to be worth it, and I'm going to probably have them in some of my team builds. The rest of this game, I think Jakeem Grant as a dart throw at 3,200 units would have some merit if you're doing a lot of GPP exposure, if you're doing mass entry, something like that. I don't think it's something I'm going to get involved with, but I can see the merit to it. Really not much else on the Dolphins I want to get involved in. I just think the Patriots defense is too good. I don't want to swim against the tide. On the Patriots side, I think Sony and GPPs make some sense. Gordon at 58 might be willing to do a little bit there. But overall, there's just too many ways the Patriots can go in a game where they may end up going to the run at some point. I'm sort of getting involved with the Patriot defense, maybe a little bit of flash, maybe some Sony and a couple GPPs, but because Sony definitely has that multiple touchdown upside. But at 6,200, it feels a little bit too thin, to be honest, just because they are involving the other backs. As I mentioned on the Fantasy Football Hour, if I see Damian Harris not active, I may lean in with a couple more Sony shares. Okay, moving down to a game that I am going to be getting involved in to some extent. The Bills and the Giants. So maybe you read my article on EEI. The Bills stack is one that I'm really looking to get involved in this week in terms of GPPs, where I'm willing to take a little bit of risk and go for some ceiling. I just like how much offense is compacted into the Allen, Smokey Brown. And, you know, if you're feeling saucy, the Cole Beasley third wheel. Now, you know, some of you may have listened to my podcast early in the week. I went into some detail about why I like Beasley and Allen sort of paired together. I think there's a logistical match here. And, you know, for those of us who did film work on Josh Allen, one thing about his college film that you really have to give him a fair shake on is that his receivers were covered. This guy did not have anyone on his college team who was a regular separator. And he had to throw at a lot of covered receivers, which exacerbated his lack of accuracy, which is a real thing. I'm not trying to say this guy's more accurate than you think. What I'm saying is he had to throw into a lot of tight windows in college. It's odd when a guy is throwing into bigger pro windows than he did in college. But in Allen's case, that's what he's got this year. Smokey Brown's giving him windows. Cole Beasley's giving him quick windows. What I like about that is that it should lead to some volume. If you're Josh Allen, try to get yourself inside his head for a second. He has suddenly got a player who's open on a couple counts in the middle of the field. Now, remember, this is an absolute statue of a human being. Josh Allen and Cole Beasley have eye-level contact. They can actually see each other. More importantly, Allen can see Beasley over the defense. So I think there are going to be a lot of connections here. A lot of them will be early connections where they're looking to get the ball out. But then the other factor is Beasley's an excellent receiver when the play breaks down. He's got good instincts. He knows how to work back to the quarterback, and he knows how to uncover. So it's going to depend a little bit on how Allen develops here. But if what I see continues, if he really sort of discovers the value of Beasley, this could become a weekly connection where we're seeing, you know, six receptions a week for Beasley, maybe more on good weeks. And obviously we want him to be matched up in a winnable matchup, which he's got this week. So I like this three-player stack because it leaves me so much money afterwards. I'm able to jam in Allen at 53, Brown at 52, and Beasley at 38. I've still got a ton of money, okay? In fact, let me just pull this up. I should, you know, shame on me for not having this ready to go. I just want to make sure I have this exactly right. So when I'm done with this stack, here it is, $14,300. So I've got $35,700 after I start with this stack. I've been able to add all three of the big running backs to this. Barkley, Zeke, and Kamara, and still come away with an overall lineup that I like. So that's where I'm sort of at with this thing. It's like, man, I can go really high end with my running backs, create a massive amount of floor. And then if this stack hits on top of the floor, well, now I'm just a couple good calls away from having myself a real serious score. So, I mean, the ways this thing could go sideways, you don't have to explain it to me, but I sort of like getting involved in this. And again, the fact that I'm able to work Saquon into this, now my stack is working within itself. Now there's synergy between the Giant part of my stack and the Bills part of my stack. Again, I could be lighting 20 bucks on fire here. There's no doubt about it. But I like the possibilities. Let's move down. One word on Smokey Brown. I think I heard, I want to say Silva is the guy I heard talking about this. And this is one thing, 100% true. Smokey Brown was not just some outside guy running, go routes. They were moving him around both sides of the field, inside, outside, and he was running intermediate routes to go with the deep stuff. So Brown has more reception accumulation potential, I think, than a lot of people thought going into the season. That's another reason I sort of like this stack. Okay, let's move over to another game that I sort of like, which is the Seahawks and the Steelers. And Jim and I talked about this one a little bit on the show. Very interesting game. Vegas has this thing in the 40s. Mid-high 40s. It feels like a game to me where if things go right, it breaks up into the 50s, maybe even high 50s. What we need, obviously, is Big Ben playing well. We need some early offense. Both teams scoring is a factor here, but I think the Steelers are really the team we need. We need the Steelers to come out and score points in the first quarter. If that happens, it pushes the Seahawks into a more aggressive mindset. And once we get Russell Wilson running around and throwing, this game sort of has a chance to go off. We like Lockett's matchup here. It's been talked about by several people during the week. This is a game where the Steelers play a lot of zone. The Steelers play a lot of man. Lockett is good against man. The Steelers do not double in the slot, and they tend to get linebackers matched up against guys in the slot. There's a lot of potential for Lockett in this game. 6,200, he's not cheap, but if you're running a Russ Wilson stack, I think going with Lockett and DK is not a crazy idea. Now, you're really taunting volume here. There is that. And I don't know how much I'm really on Russ, to tell you the truth. I'm more looking, although I think Russ is viable in this game because we like him more on the road. He tends to run on the road. You get a rushing touchdown and a Lockett touchdown, and you could be in really good shape. All you need is sort of another touchdown to go to somebody else, and probably doesn't really matter who. I mean, obviously we want Lockett. But anyway, the move I really like here is the Big Ben stack with Juju, maybe throwing in Moncrief as well if you've got some guts. I mean, look, let's be honest. Moncrief looked awful last week. Most of my listeners know I've never been a Moncrief fan. I've always felt like he was a developmental talent, and the development has never really happened. His routes are a little bit better, but he's never improved the hands. He's never had confidence in his hands, and he clearly does not now. Having said that, he catches the deep ball pretty well. When he has to flip his hands from the bottom up and catch balls coming at him, he's shaky. Catching balls over the shoulder, he's not bad. He can handle that. So, you know, the idea that Moncrief could catch two long passes for a couple touchdowns in this game is not far-fetched. So, if I was stacking Big Ben, Juju for volume, Moncrief for the big play, Lockett for the counter move, because if this thing goes ham for the Steelers, that means the Seahawks are probably scoring points. I think Lockett is set up well here, and a lot of people will be off him if that's something you care about. So the Big Ben, Juju, Moncrief, Lockett stack sort of works for me, sort of like that. Not sure if I'm actually playing it because I don't know how many, you know, high-end stacks I'm going to be into this week. I'm already sort of going with the Bills. I think I may do a couple versions of the Bills and maybe one version of this. Moving on to the next game, Redskins, Cowboys. Interesting game. The Redskins are sort of like the Bills in that I can compact a lot of interesting things into a very low-cost stack. The problem is I just don't feel the dynamic ability with Keenum compared to Josh Allen. I don't think Case Keenum is going to go for 40 if I get lucky. That's the problem. You know, maybe in a smaller tournament for a floor to try to create some other opportunities. I don't know. Maybe. Not something I'm going to do. Having said that, there's some compelling individual pieces on the Washington side. You guys probably know where I'm going here. I think Thompson at 3,900 is worth a look, maybe in cash. I'm not doing it, but it's maybe worth a look. I think Vernon Davis priced up a little bit at 32. They must have known Reed was maybe going to be out. But, you know, Vernon Davis at 3,200, I think, is a compelling pivot off of what's going to be the chalk, which he's right in between Hockenson and Waller. So for people who are looking to just sort of zig while others are zagging, VD could be a good move. But the guy I really like here is Terry McLaurin at 3,800. I don't think he is as likely to pop as last week because I think Dallas is a little bit tougher on the perimeter. But having said that, I think they're going to be behind. They're going to be home. And I don't think they're going to want to go out there and lay a big fat egg in front of their home fans. I think they're going to want to give things a shot. So McLaurin, I think, is in play. I also think it's important to remember he wasn't just a deep threat last week. He was running some intermediate stuff too, and he looked pretty good doing it. The other compelling guy, maybe more compelling, maybe more likely to get volume, is Trey Quinn at 3,900 units. I think Quinn is a very compelling cost saver with some upside in GPPs this week. I really don't trust any Redskins in cash. You know, I think if you play FanDuel where it's 0.5 PPR, Adrian Peterson is probably an interesting play. You know, after the quotes we heard last week from Gruden, I just don't trust him to use Peterson a ton, so I'm not going to do it. Now, on the Dallas side, everything is in play with the top four. I mean, I think the Dak stack is certainly there for you if you want to go that way. The reason I'm a little scared off of the Dak stack is just that if the Redskins don't show, this could be the Zeke show. You know, Zeke is the cowboy that I'm sort of like, I really want to get this guy in my lineup. This feels like one of those 25 carry, 150 yard, three touchdown games. I mean, you know, it could be something else, but it feels like one of those games. Zeke tends to run well against this team. You know, and there are, you know, Washington is just not set up to do much of anything. So I like Zeke a lot. Now, is Cooper got a lot of upside? Oh, yeah. And 74 in units, he's not scarily priced. you know, having said that, I think I'd rather go Gallup and save almost $2,000 to 5,600 units. Definitely a lot of ways to play this game. I think Dak, Zeke, Cooper, and Gallup are all in play in GPPs. I think Zeke's in play, even maybe in cash. Although there's too many ways to create safer cash builds, so probably not. But this game's got all kinds of stuff if you want to get involved. Now, the next game, I think, interesting is an overused word, but this one's interesting. Hack and I talked about this on the show. There's two ways this game's going to go. One is Raven blowout, and it sort of stays Raven blowout. And, you know, essentially, if the Cardinals can't get anything going early, it's going to allow the Ravens to just sort of stay on their throat. But if the Cardinals can have, even if they don't score a lot of points, if they can just maintain some drives in the first half, then we could see a scenario like last week's where the defense eventually starts getting a little tired of chasing this quarterback, you know, of not being able to get off the field. Because if the Cardinals are playing fast-paced, they're going to keep defensive packages stuck on the field. These guys will start sucking wind eventually. If we can get into that kind of a game, and if we can keep Baltimore from running away and hiding, this could be an exciting second half. So I wouldn't bet my mortgage getting involved with the Cardinals. But I think if you're the kind of person who likes to build a couple different GPP kind of teams, you know, going with like Lamar, maybe even like naked Lamar or Lamar stacked with a running back, I think I would just go naked Lamar. And then add in some pieces from the other side. You know, I could see that working out. The problem is I just can't really narrow in on which pieces I want to do it with. So that's sort of where I'm at with this game. I think it's interesting, and I think there's a little bit more sunlight on the Cardinal side than maybe some people think. Obviously, Vegas has this thing like 2-1 Ravens, but the nature of the way the Cardinals play could open this thing up in the second half. And if you wanted to get really radical and do like a Murray DJ stack, and then maybe add in Fitz or Kirk, you know, again, if you're willing to take that kind of risk in a GPP, I could see it hitting, you know, probably like a 1 in 5 chance. But if it hits, you might have something there. Let's take a look at Jacksonville Texans just for a second. I mean, you got to hit this game just because I think the Watson Fuller stack is something everybody has to at least consider. To me, the nuke Deshaun stack, you know, with Ramsey probably shadowing, I don't really want to get involved there. I mean, good for you if you've got the money to actually play something like that. I mean, it definitely could hit and you'd probably be in good shape. I'd rather save the money and go Fuller, the guy in the better matchup. Granted, there'll probably be more people doing that. And then on the other side of the ball, I think Minshew is going to be fun to watch. I'm not going to get involved. Fournette, I think, is compelling at 6,300, but there's things I like more. The guy I really like here is Didi, who I think is going to conceivably hook up with Minshew quite a bit. The only reason I'm not going to be heavy Didi this week is at 5,400, there's some guys I like in the 4K range just as much, and we're going to get to that now. Let's dump down here. And if you're really feeling gutsy and you're looking for a super cheap D, I think, you know, the Jaguars D is compelling here. Super cheap at 2,400 units, and Watson will run himself into plenty of sacks. You get a fumble, and who knows? And certainly some picks are possible. So I think Jacksonville is one of the better cheap defenses out there if you're willing to take a chance. Okay, now we're going to get down into the part of the slate that I think probably most people are excited about. KC Raiders. The game is over 50. KC's over 30. The interesting thing on the KC side is if you don't want to pay up to Kelce or Sammy, they're 73, 72 respectively. Mahomes stacking is not that easy to do. Now, I think you can go Mahomes Damian. That's certainly possible, but Damian is not cheap either. What, 5,800 units? So LeSean at 4,700. You know, McCoy looked so good last week. Again, exactly what we talked about when I did that podcast from the beach. This guy's running instincts inside are really good, and we saw that. But here's the thing. If you're the Chiefs, McCoy has real value to where you want to go, You don't need to use him like major carries to win this game. I think McCoy's going to be roughly like he was last week. He'll probably do really well. I think he's a legit fantasy flex in seasonal leagues. And certainly at 4,700 units, if you wanted to use him in a stack, you could. You know, scoring a couple touchdowns is certainly possible. I'm just not feeling that he could go volume. I just don't feel it. It doesn't make sense for Kansas City to do it in a game they should win going away. So, you know, to me, if I'm going to stack here, I'm either going to pay up for Kelsey, I'm going to save money and go with Damian and hope I get lucky, or maybe roll the dice with Mecole Hardman at 4,800 units. I was hoping Hardman would come in around 3,800, but they priced him up. So a lot of ways you could go here. None of them are stupid. But for me, you know, I'm not playing enough lineups where I want to get too chancy. I think the interesting thing about this game is if you're stacking Kansas City, you absolutely have to come back with some Raiders, right? Because that's the way the whole thing's going to work. And it, you know, and the Raiders are so cheap. The Raiders are a little bit like the Bills. The problem is I don't see the ceiling with Carr. That's why I'm not really doing Carr stacks. I mean, you could do it. I don't quite see it. There's a little bit too much pass rush on the KC side for me to buy into a Carr stack. I think Carr could be cash viable. He could be a decent floor play in seasonal. Just not really feeling him in GPPs. Now, so much to talk about, though, on the Raiders side. First of all, Jacobs at 4,700 got priced early before he had the big game last week. He's going to be really chalky. And I talk about him in the rankings. This is a really... Damn it, I'm going to use the interesting word again. But it really is. This genuinely is a very interesting situation because everybody thinks Rashard is going to be that situational passing down back where this thing goes bad in terms of game script and they just go to Rashard. Now, I agree that Rashard's got some of that role. And I agree that if this thing goes into a blowout and you know the Raiders have to pass, that definitely increases Rashard's value. I'm with everybody there. Here's the thing. This team went all in on Jacobs. And while we haven't seen Jacobs playing a lot of passing down snaps, we know he's got the skill set to do it. We know it. One of the best things he did as a football player at Alabama was catch passes and do a lot with it. This guy's got big, soft hands. He's a really good receiver, and he's got good hips. He's good after the catch. So if you're John Gruden and you are the kind of guy who likes to play one running back quite a bit and you leaned in and drafted this guy, spent a ton of draft capital on him, you're already embarrassed over what's going on with your organization over the last couple weeks. If you get involved in a blowout, are you going to take your rookie low mileage running back out of the game completely? I'm not seeing that. I think we'll be in a shared situation if this thing goes blowout and the Raiders are just trying to throw and get in from it from behind. I think Jacobs will still be involved. I think Rashard will too, but I think they'll be sharing that role. So I think at 4,700 units, I think Jacobs is compelling. I'm definitely going to be finding some ways to get him into some of my lineups. In GPPs, I'm not going to go overboard because I think there's a counter narrative where, you know, again, I'm not huge into ownership rates, but in a case like this, there might be some good reason to just sort of fade him against the pack. But in cash builds, I sort of feel like he's a way to go. I don't know if he's going to be in my cash lineup. The problem with putting him in cash is how much Raider do you want in cash? Because Tyrell is a compelling cash play too, and Waller, I think, is an excellent cash play. So, like, my cash lineups are going to have probably two Raiders in it. You know, I'm probably only going to have one cash lineup, and I'm still sitting here hemming and hawing over how I want to do it. But I'm telling you right now, in my cash lineup, two out of these three Raiders are going to be there. And if I'm stacking Mahomes, probably it's going to be with Kelsey. And then the way I'm going to make it work is by feathering in two or maybe even three of these Raiders and maybe put that lineup in some single entry, smaller field tournaments. So that's sort of how I see this game. Really fun game to get involved in. One last thing, I think the Kansas City defense could be something here because I think there's just going to be a lot of plays in this game. And, you know, they've got a pass rush and, you know, it's not like the Raiders couldn't implode. So I think, you know, there's some merit to dropping 3,500 units on the Chiefs. Okay. Last game on the main slate that we're going to talk about. The Saints and the Rams. The thing about this game that we like is, first of all, both teams have to have this game. It's a big game. It's going to have implications down the line the rest of the way. These could be two teams fighting for the one seed for all we know. We don't like Breeze on the road, but we like him indoors. And this game has a chance where the pace could be up because the Saints play faster the more of a game it is, right? So we like Goff at home. We like Breeze indoors. I love Kamara in this game, especially when you factor in how badly Christian McCaffrey gashed this team in week one. So Kamara for me is almost, it sounds crazy, but he's almost a free square at 8,200. I'm going to be really exposed to him in my flex spot all over the place this week. That's really the way I'm getting involved with the Saints. Now on the other side, I really like Cooper Kupp at 6K. I think Cooks for some upside at 63. And then I think Woods, if you're an ownership rate guy, I think Woods is going to be the guy everybody runs away from because he costs the most, but he's just as likely to have a big game as the other two, really. So, you know, Goff at 59, very stackable. Goff is much better at home. This is a defense that you want to throw on. So, you know, I think the Rams stack with Goff leading the way, not bad. Now, I've heard a lot of people talking about Gurley at 7K. You know what? If he hits, you could do really well. I'm just not feeling it in this matchup. I think the Saints' run defense is too good. And I'm still concerned that Brown is going to get red zone juice and take some of Gurley's upside away. So, you know, again, for people who like to do a lot of different you know, tournament builds, I think certainly there's some merit to Gurley. I'm not going to have enough lineup builds where it's compelling enough for me. So that's sort of where I'm at this game. I'm more likely to build around Goff than Breeze. Kamara's the one guy from this game that's going to be in a lot of my lineups. And then if I stack with Goff, I'm going to get Kamara involved, probably Kupp, and then I'll probably probably throw in one of the other ones too. Really a coin flip. You know, Cooks has positive history in these games against his former teams. He's lit the Saints up twice. But again, if ownership rates is something that matters to you, I think Woods could be an interesting play. So, you know, do what you think is right. I think all three of these guys probably have good games, talking about the Rams receivers. Okay, already went over 30 minutes. So what we're going to do now is just a quick 5 minutes on what my core is this week. We're going to get you out. Okay, so I'm just going to go through here the players at each position that I'm sort of building around, and I'll put a finer point on the guys who I think are going to actually be in my lineups this week. I had some time stuff this week. I ended up having some things I needed to do yesterday morning. I didn't have as much lineup building time as I normally have. You know, we'll see what I can sort of get done between like 11 and 1 o'clock. But let's start with the quarterbacks. Mahomes is a guy I want to build some lineups around. Right now I've got Lamar Jackson as my cash quarterback. Interested in Watson and Wentz and Dak. Not sure how much I'm going to be able to build around them. And then my sort of deeper tournament builds, Josh Allen I've already talked about, and then Roethlisberger is a guy I'm looking to get involved in. By no means do these players represent the only good plays a quarterback out there. There's tons of them, okay? But these are the guys that I'm sort of looking at right now, knowing that I'm going to have some Mahomes, knowing pretty sure that Jackson's going to be my cash QB, and then again, Allen and Roethlisberger, I'm building some GPP teams that I want, that I'm sort of going for it, if you will, with those guys. Okay, so moving over to running backs. I'm sort of elite focused because a lot of my team builds are giving me space to roster these elite running backs, and I really love them this week. You know, now Chubb, Jimmy and I both talk, he's sort of our lock of the week, but he's Monday night, so he's off the main slate. Kamara is sort of the guy I'm really committed to. I don't know how many teams I'm going to have that don't have Kamara this week. Now, that's risky. I know that. But I'm sort of leaning in on what I think is going to happen. And Kamara's, you know, I just love him in this matchup. Now, Zeke Elliott, there's some concern that, you know, he's not going to get the carry volume because he didn't get a lot last week. I think that has so much to do with him showing up midweek. Now he's got a week under his belt. He obviously knows the system. This thing looks like a blowout. To me, Zeke Elliott getting more than 20 carries feels really good here. He should run pretty much all over this team, and the chances for multiple touchdowns are there. So I want to get involved with Zeke Elliott. I won't have the kind of exposure I have with Kamara, but I'm going to have exposure, quite a bit of it, I think. Slightly less exposure probably than Zeke, but definitely this is a guy I'm looking to get involved, is Barkley. I think people are going to be away from him after last week, so if ownership rates matter to you, this might be a time you can get involved with Saquon Barkley and not have everybody there with you. Now, 9,200's a lot. You're going to have to find a way to get him into your lineup. I'm finding that it's really not that hard, particularly if you don't need to jam other expensive running backs in with him. Then it's actually pretty darn easy. And, you know, the Bills are a tough matchup, but I'd rather try to run on the Bills than pass on the Bills. So, the way this thing works for Barkley is if this ends up being a decent football game and if they can get him running early, that's going to open up other things. And then the possibility for a big game, I think, is there. I mean, the Bills are a good defense, but they're not a great team. And I think they're the kind of team where if you can break them down and open things up against them, you can get them to collapse. So I think there's a lot of potential here. There's risk, but there's potential. And again, in those builds where I'm using Allen, I'm going to put Barkley in there. I'm just going to go for it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Dalvin Cook, I don't know how much exposure I'm going to have because I'm finding it's easier to get, well, not easier, but I'm not having trouble getting the guys that are more expensive in, but I like Cook at 7,200 units. I think he has a really good chance of having a good day against the Packers, probably catch more passes in this one. I think another phenomenal play is Eckler at 61. Not sure how much I'm going to have of him, and the game pace works against him, but definitely a guy I'm looking to get involved in. The other running backs that I really, am looking at in a compelling way, obviously Jacobs, Oakland, Josh Jacobs, because the cost is so low. Damian Williams, because he could do so much on just a couple plays. Then Matt Breida, another cost consideration because at 5,200 units as a lead back, he could do quite well. I'm definitely going to have some Breida exposure. And then, some other guys who I think are interesting. We talked about Chris Thompson. I think Devin Singletary, if I'm not doing the Buffalo stack, he's interesting at 4,200 units because of the playing time. I think Tariq Cohen, a player whose salary really jumped up because of the big games he had last year. Well, guess what? He's down at 4,500 units in a game, where Fangio knows what they like to do. Tariq Cohen's a bit of a wild card. You can't really scheme to stop Tariq Cohen. So, I think he's a compelling guy to use in GPPs if you're willing to take the risk, for what it's worth. Now, let's jump over to the receivers. And again, really, really looking heavy at the elite running backs, Saquon, Kamara, and Zeke. That's really where I think most of my bets are going to be placed, with some exposure to some of the cheaper backs that we mentioned. And often that exposure is going to be logistical. Like, okay, I need a cheap back to get this team right. On the receivers. Now, Atlanta's tonight, but if you're playing in a tournament where Sunday night's in play, if you're playing on Fantasy Draft versus DraftKings, I love Julio this week. So, on DraftKings at 7,300, he's a smash, I would really be into playing Julio just about anywhere. Juju Smith-Schuster is my other high-cost guy that I'm really looking to get involved in. Definitely, he'll be at the core of any Roethlisberger stack I put together. I like Cooper Kupp for floor, where you also get a little ceiling. Same kind of thing with Lockett. I think he's got floor in this one, and you get some ceiling. Will Fuller, I think, is exciting with a lot of ceiling at 5,300 units. But really, I think the guys I'm going to be playing a lot of this week are Terrell Williams at 4,400. I mean, that low a price when you have that much locked in volume, it's hard to stay away from. I sort of like him in the same way I like DeeDee Westbrook this week, but, I'm saving $1,000 going to Williams. John Brown at 5,200 units. Again, the route diversity makes him even more compelling. And I think he's got all kinds of upside in this game. I think he's less of a dart throw, again, because of the route diversity. And again, there's a lot of other receivers that I like this week. I think Gallup is interesting at 5,600 units. McLaurin, we mentioned, at 3,800 units. Ross at 4,600. Valdez-Scantling at 4,600. Mecole Hardman at 4,800. And again, Cole Beasley at 38 is a guy I'm willing to use in cash. Odell Beckham is compelling on Monday night. A very interesting play. I think Sammy Watkins at 7,200 units is definitely somebody I'm willing to stack with Mahomes. It's going to be a very popular move. And that's really most of the wide receiver plays that I like this week. Moving over to tight end, so much to like. It's all so yummy and good. Kelce at 7,300, definitely something I want to do. I'm not going to do as much of it because of the compelling low-cost guys. Kittle at 6,800, great play against Cincinnati. Evan Ingram at 5,200. You're buying mega volume here. Now, the Bills tackled well in the middle of the field last week. It could be a situation where Ingram catches eight balls for 80 yards or something like that. I think for him to really smash for you, you probably need either a big play or a touchdown. That might be tough to get. But certainly he's got some nice floor at 5,200 units and really the number one and like number two option in the pass game for them. Darren Waller at 3,300. Locked in volume, has some upside. His team's going to be chasing. Very, very compelling play. Hockenson at 3K is sort of my pivot away from Waller. When I can't quite fit Waller in, I can go to Hockenson. That's sort of how I'm setting this week up. Another guy who I think might be a little underrated this week is Vance McDonald. People are going to be running away from him after last week, but he did play 70% of the snaps. And against Seattle, tight ends are, you know, usually something that can be high scoring. Jared Cook is another one who I think people will be a little bit away from after last week. The Rams get out ahead, Cook could end up having a good day. So, you know, he's another guy maybe who's worth consideration. And, you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much for last week, but hopefully some of you caught my Watkins recommendation. Hopefully some of you made a little money off of that. And a lot of the other stuff hit. I will also give out some apologies for Curtis Samuel, but if it makes any of you who played Samuel feel better, he cost me a ton of money, so you're not alone there. That's pretty much going to do it for this week. I hope this was somewhat informative for you. Sorry that it went a little bit long. I will be back on Tuesday with another Waiver Wire podcast, and we do it all over next week. So, you know, giddy up. Go out there. Win some money today, and, you know, have a good time. I know I'm going to have a good time because I'm going to get to rest. I'm going to get to sit down and watch some football instead of sitting at this desk. So week two is upon us. Full slate going for next week. Again, Rotobon Waiver Wire Pod on Tuesday, WEEI Pod on Friday. We will get on a regular schedule next week with the DFS Pod. I am not going to have any Saturday morning stuff scheduled. So we have a Saturday DFS Pod next week. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And, you know, let's rock the Casbah.